Appreciate the service so far. Appreciate everybody that's contributed. Amen. Appreciate that testimony by Brother Ethan over there. I'm the same way, brother. It just comes out to me, just flowing. I can't control it. And I used to be ashamed of it a long time ago, but then I realized, if Jesus can shed his blood for me, I can shed a few tears.
Amen.
I mean, it's been a pretty good day. Today we went to our church we've been attending for the last year and a half. And Brother Robbie Miller is the only pastor. He was here preaching the last time I was down here. And he was there this morning, and we wanted to do a dedication service to dedicate our little boy to the Lord. And that went over well this morning. We had a good time there. And we've been wanting to have it on our hearts to join the church for a while, so we asked them about that too. And they got all that together. And little did we know, there's about three or four more wanted to join as well. So it's a good turnout. We had a good meal afterwards. So I apologize if I've got a little bit too much in here. I like to eat, and that's one of my downfalls. I'm glad to be here tonight. I'm glad the Lord has led us this way. Glad for the invitation, Brother Rudy. He'd known it well. I'd sung for a long time. We've been singing with the Gilbert family and still do. And last time he was preaching revival at Sulphur down there, he didn't realize that I was a preacher. I think Robbie may have told him that. And he said, "You're a preacher?" I said, "Yeah, I've been preaching for about 15 years." And so it's funny how the world works, how the Lord works sometimes. In mysterious ways. It's not scriptural, but we like to say that. It's mysterious to us for sure. There are plenty of mysteries in the Bible.
Sure.
But I appreciate getting to be here with you tonight. I'm kind of like Brother Robbie. I'm old-fashioned. Always have been. Grew up in the old-fashioned way. Amen. Was raised in the church from the point I was about 10 or 11 years old up until now. And I'm 42. Just turned 42 this past August. And the Lord's been good to me, Brother.
Amen.
Just like Brother Ethan said, he's been good to me more than I'll ever know.
Amen.
And more than I can ever repay. There's no way I can repay him. Amen. That's why it's called grace. Amen. It's a free gift.
Yeah.
Amen. Of mercy and grace. I appreciate that tonight. If you got your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Jeremiah. Book of Jeremiah. We're going to go down to about 37. Chapter 37. There's a lot to cover, and I'll try to do my best to do exactly what the Lord had me do, no more, no less. But I've been studying this message for the past couple of days, and the Lord finally gave it to me. And, sometimes us as ministers, we don't get the message 3-4 weeks ahead of time and get to prepare and plan a lot of times. Sometimes it's just a moment's notice or 2 days or something. I've had some times where the Lord give me a message, and when I'm done with that, He already give me another. And I praise the Lord for that. But we got to be ready. The Bible talks about being instant in season and out of season. Amen. We got to be ready at a moment's notice. Amen. Peter talked about being ready to answer any man according to the hope that lies within you. And that goes for us preachers as well. Amen. Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 37, I'm just going to probably just read a little bit here and there. There's, a lot to cover. But it says, "And King Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. But neither he nor his servants nor the people of the land did hearken unto the words of the Lord which he spake by the prophet Jeremiah. Zedekiah the king sent Jehoiakim, the son of Shelemiah, and Zephaniah, the son of Messiah, the priest, to the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Pray now unto the Lord our God for us. Now Jeremiah came in and went out among the people, for they had not put him into prison. Then Pharaoh's army was come forth out of Egypt, and when the Chaldeans that besieged Jerusalem heard tidings of them, they departed from Jerusalem. Then came the word of the Lord unto the prophet Jeremiah, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, Thus ye shall say to the king of Judah that sent you unto me to inquire of me, Behold, Pharaoh's army, which is come forth to help you, shall return to Egypt into their own land. And the Chaldeans shall come again and fight against this city and take it and burn it with fire. Thus saith the Lord, Deceive not yourselves, saying, The Chaldeans shall surely depart from us, for they shall not depart. For though ye had smitten the whole army of the Chaldeans that fight against you, and there remain but wounded men among them, yet should they rise up every man in his tent and burn this city with fire." That's as far as we're going to read for right now.
Amen.
Appreciate you standing in reverence for the Word of God. You may be seated. Amen. So we find this king, Zedekiah. He's in power here. It says he reigned instead of Coniah, the son of Jehoiakim, whom Nebuchadrezzar, the king of Babylon, made king in the land of Judah. And we find that he wants to hear a word from the Lord. So he sends some of his messengers down Jeremiah's way. Now notice that said that he was not in prison. That's because later on they put him in prison several different times. Mm-hmm. They put him in a dungeon. They put him in the inner court of the king's house, the palace, I believe it was. But Jeremiah, amen, went to jail many times for his faith and for what he preached and for what he believed in, because he got a revelation directly and a message directly from the Lord. But they asked him, give us a good word, pray to the Lord that he'll talk to us and he'll tell us what's going on here. Pray to him that he'll give us a good word, in other words. And it said that he went out among the people in verse 4. Like I said, they had not put him in the prison. And it said that Pharaoh's army was coming to help, amen, Jerusalem here. And we'll get into the background of why that is here just a little bit. But, amen, Jeremiah finally got a word from the Lord. He was praying, no doubt, to the Lord. And the Lord gave him this word. And he began to tell him, you know, Egypt's coming. Pharaoh's army's coming, but they're not going to stay. They're going to be here for just a little bit. And they're going to turn around and go back home. And the Chaldeans, or Chaldeans, however you pronounce that, that's the Babylons, Nebuchadnezzar and all them. They're going to come down and they're going to besiege your city and they're going to burn it with fire. Amen.
Yeah.
Many of you know about this. Amen. Jeremiah prophesied this starting at around about chapter 25. And amen, he preached to them and told them that the Babylonians were going to come in and take their land. And amen, he began to tell them all these things that the Lord had said. And they didn't like what Jeremiah had to say. They didn't like his words. They didn't believe that he had spoke of the Lord and the Lord was behind him. And they believed in their false prophets. They believed in their false gods. Amen. The very reason that Jeremiah was sent in the first place is because they would not hearken unto the words of the Lord. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 1, we heard this morning. Bobby didn't know this, but I had to preach in Jeremiah. He preached in Jeremiah this morning. But he talked about how Jeremiah was called, amen, ordained before he was even in the womb, before God formed him, he knew him. And he had already anointed him for a purpose, amen.
Amen.
And before I get any further, I want to give you the thought of the message that's on my heart. Amen. And that is, the message hasn't changed.
That's right.
The message hasn't changed. Amen. That's the thought for tonight.
Amen.
Amen. They went in here and Zedekiah asked these men to go beseech Jeremiah that he would pray to the Lord, and no doubt he wanted a good word. Amen. Here comes the Pharaoh, and here comes Egypt, and wanted to see how this is going to go with them. And Jeremiah begins to tell about the Chaldeans coming in and taking over and besieging the city. He said that even if you smite every man of the Chaldeans, even if you send a great army against them, the wounded, those that are lame and afflicted, amen, would rise up and still take the city, because that's what God said was going to happen. And as many times we find that he didn't hearken unto the words of Jeremiah, we find here in verse 15 of that same chapter, wherefore the princes were wroth with Jeremiah, they were mad at him, and smote him and put him in prison. Now he's in prison. He wasn't before, but now he is. In the house of Jonathan the scribe, for they had made that the prison. When Jeremiah was entered into the dungeon and into the cabins, Jeremiah had remained there many days. Then Zedekiah the king sent. The same king at the very first verse who sent before, he was going to send again. He said he sent and took him out. And the king asked him secretly in his house and said, is there any word from the Lord? And Jeremiah said, there is. For, said he, thou shalt be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon.
Amen.
He said, I told you the first time, the message hasn't changed. You're going to go and be delivered into the hands of the Babylon. And whether you do what the Lord has you do will depend on whether you live or whether you die. Because the message hadn't changed. How many know that the Lord hasn't changed today?
Amen.
Amen. The message that he gives us in this word doesn't change. I was going to go this later, but a lot of times I have bookmarks and things like that, but I just have to spit it out when the Lord puts it on my heart. Amen. But it said Jesus Christ, Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Amen.
Amen. I have not changed. Amen. He said, behold, I am the Lord God. I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. I'm glad that God is still on the throne and we can Amen. Trust his word. We can Amen. Trust what he says. Amen. Because he holds his word above his very name in song.
Amen.
Tells us that. Zedekiah got some ring in his hands. He was in the jail. Jeremiah was. And he sent for him to come on out. He said, you know, I want to hear something. I want to hear a little bit better. A lot of times, if they don't like what you say, they'll put a threat on your life and they'll say, well, now what do you got to say about that? Amen. Jeremiah was already in jail. He didn't have nothing to lose. Amen. So he was going to tell the truth and what God said. He didn't change his mind about it. But Zedekiah wanted to know, is there any word from the Lord? Is there anything that has changed in that message? And Jeremiah said, no, the message ain't changed. So you're going to be delivered into the hand of the king of Babylon.
Yeah. Amen.
Moreover, Jeremiah said to King Zedekiah, what have I offended against thee? Or against thy servants, or against this people that ye have put me in prison? Where are now your prophets which prophesied unto you, saying, the king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land? Therefore, hear now, I pray thee, O Lord, my king, let my supplication, I pray thee, be accepted before thee, that thou cause me not to return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I die there. Then Zedekiah the king commanded that they should commit Jeremiah to the court of the prison, and that they should give him daily a piece of bread out of the baker's street, until all the bread in the city were spent. Thus Jeremiah remained in the court of the prison. Amen. So he goes from one prison, amen, to another place. It's kind of like a prison, but it's just a court. It wasn't the inner dungeon. But we see here, notice here that he said in verse 19, wherefore now are you prophets? Where are they at? The ones that prophesied, amen, saying that the king of Babylon shall not come against you, nor against this land. Here's an example of one of those prophets that was trying to say something against the Lord and against Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 28, we find one of them. And it talks about, it says, it came to pass the same year, the beginning of the reign of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the fourth year, in the fifth month, that Hananiah, the son of Azur, the prophet, which was of Gibeon, spake unto me, Jeremiah, in the house of the Lord, in the presence of the priests and all the people, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, the Lord God of Israel, saying, I have broken the yoke of the king of Babylon. Within 2 full years, I will bring again into this place all the vessels of the Lord's house, and Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, took away from his place and carried them into Babylon. And I will bring again to this place Jeconiah, the son of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, with all the captains of Judah that went to Babylon, saith the Lord, for I will break the yoke of the king of Babylon. Now this was a false prophet. He was trying to prophesy things to them. Amen. The people had what you might say in the New Testament, itching ears. Amen. And they had teachers that they want to heap unto themselves that would tickle their ears and make things sound good. And not only that, the prophets that were prophesying to them, no doubt they got wealth from that. They probably got some kind of monetary gain. And they wanted to look good in the sight of the people so that when things might have happened the right way, they took credit for it.
Yeah.
But he said, the Lord's going to deliver us within 2 years. Now, Jeremiah, later on, he says, you're going to be in Babylon for 70 years. That's a long time. I'm just 42. I've got another 30 years before I even get there. That's a long time. 70 years. But this man says, well, 2 full years in vessels will come back to the house of the Lord. And Jeremiah, the prophet, said unto the prophet Hananiah, in the presence of the priests, in the presence of all the people that stood in the house of the Lord, even the prophet Jeremiah said, amen. The Lord do so. The Lord perform thy words, which thou hast prophesied, to bring again the vessels of the Lord's house, and all that is carried away captive from Babylon to this place. Nevertheless, hear thou now this word that I speak in thine ears and in the ears of all the people. The prophets that have been before me, and before me of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence. The prophet which prophesieth peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. So he's saying, if these things come to pass, and there's peace that comes to pass, then you'll be a true prophet. If not, then you'll be a false one. Amen. They talked about, I believe it was stoning the old false prophets back in Deuteronomy, about chapter 13, I believe it was, how to tell a false prophet from a true one. Mm-hmm. And if they didn't come to pass, and if things didn't happen the way the Lord said, then they was to go out and stone him because there was a false prophet. Hananiah thought he'd put a little last word in there in verse 10. Then Hananiah, the prophet, took the yoke from the prophet of Jeremiah. See, they had him in stocks. Probably, I think it was, I don't remember what chapter it was, I just glanced at it today, but many, several chapters back, they had put him in the stocks in the first place. So he'd been there a while. And he took the stocks from off Jeremiah's neck, and the wooden stock, and he break it. It's kind of like the oxen when you yoke them together. He took it and he break it. And he was doing this for a big performance. He was using that yoke as a prop. And Hananiah spake in the presence of all the people, saying, thus saith the Lord, even so I will break the yoke of Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, from the neck of all the nations within the space of 2 full years. And the prophet Jeremiah went his way. Then the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the prophet, after that Hananiah the prophet had broken the yoke from the neck of the prophet Jeremiah, saying, go and tell Hananiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, thou hast broken the yokes of wood, I like this, but thou shalt make for them yokes of iron. Amen. You've already done a bad wrong, and you just messed things up even worse. You might have broken the wooden yoke, but now we're going to be yoked with a yoke of iron. Amen. And nobody can break that except me. Amen. And that's the false prophets. One example of the false prophets that Jeremiah was talking about when he said, hey, where are these false prophets at that said that God was going to deliver you within 2 years? He said, let them come. Amen. And where are they at? I don't see them anywhere. I'm the only one left that remains. Why is that? Because the message hasn't changed. The message has not changed. Amen. We continue on here. We read a little bit more in verse 14. Then Zedekiah the king sent. That's the third time he sent Jeremiah. He sent to inquire Jeremiah. Then Zedekiah the king sent. We're in chapter 38 now. He took Jeremiah the prophet unto him in the third entry, that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said to Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. And Jeremiah said to Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, that wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? So Zedekiah the king swore secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of these men that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah to Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thy house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall the city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. Jeremiah gives them the same message. You're going to be delivered over to the Babylonians. And he tells them many times before this. This is kind of the first time we're reading it here, but he tells them earlier, amen, when these Babylons come in, you go with them and you do what they say because God is able to deliver you from them. Mm-hmm. But if you resist what God is trying to do, even though it don't seem good right now, see, God can take something that seems evil, Brother Rudy, and turn it for good, amen? And if you resist what God's trying to do, it might not make sense to you, but if you try to resist them, amen, then nothing good can come out of it. Amen, he told them this. He warned them three different times that there was going to happen to Zedekiah. Amen. And just before we go to talk about what Zedekiah did and his decision on this, I want to go back and read you something else that was given by one of the elders of the land. So he probably had something like this in mind. Jeremiah chapter 26, verse 12, said, then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes, to all the people, saying, the Lord sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that ye have heard. Therefore now amend your ways and your doings, and obey the voice of the Lord your God, and the Lord will repent him of the evil that he pronounced against you. As for me, behold, I am in your hand. Do with me as seemeth good and meet unto you. But know ye for certain that if you put me to death, you shall surely bring innocent blood upon yourselves and upon this city and upon the inhabitants thereof. For of a truth the Lord hath sent me unto you to speak all these words in your ears. Then said the princes and all the people unto the priests and the prophets, this man is not worthy to die, for he hath spoken to us in the name of the Lord God. Then rose up certain of the elders of the land and spake to all the assembly of the people, saying, now notice this. He's going to give us two scenarios here. Micah, the Morishite, prophesied in the days of Hezekiah, king of Judah, and spake to all the people of Judah, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, Zion shall be plowed like a field, and Jerusalem shall become heat, and the mountain of the house as high as the places of a forest. Did Zedekiah, king of Judah, and all of Judah put him at all to death? Did he not fear the Lord, but sought the Lord repented him of the evil which he had pronounced against them? Thus might we procure great evil against our souls. And there was also a man that prophesied in the name of the Lord, Urijah, the son of Shimei, of Kirjath-Jearim, who prophesied against this city and against this land according to all the words of Jeremiah. And when Jehoiakim, the king, with all his mighty men and all the princes heard his words, the king sought to put him to death. But when Urijah heard it, he was afraid and fled and went to Egypt. And Jehoiakim, the king, sent men to Egypt, namely Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and certain men with him to Egypt. And they fetched forth Urijah out of Egypt, and brought him to Jehoiakim the king, who slew him with the sword, and cast his dead body into the graves of the common people. Nevertheless, the hand of Ahakim, son of Shaphan, was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him to the hand of the people to put him to death. This elder of the land begins to give two scenarios. He talks about Micah, who prophesied against Zion and prophesied against Jerusalem. And Hezekiah began to take that to heart and began to repent in front of the Lord. And the Lord repented him of the evil he was going to do to him. So that's one scenario. And they said he didn't put him to death. This is kind of like Jeremiah. Jeremiah's a good prophet. Amen. And they don't want to put him to death. And then we find here that there's another man named Urijah. Well, he prophesied according to the words of Jeremiah as well, but there's a difference here. He was afraid and he fled away. And because he fled, amen, the king went after him and he was slain. Well, look here what Zedekiah, what happens to him. Amen. Back over where we were just reading that in chapter 39 now. We're going to find out what Zedekiah's decision is. After three separate warnings from Jeremiah, who, by the way, his message hadn't changed, three separate warnings here. Zedekiah decides this. In chapter 39 it says, in the ninth year of Zedekiah, king of Judah, in the tenth month came Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it, just as Jeremiah said. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, in the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate. I'm not going to try to pronounce all their names. You go home and study them on your own. All these different people, with all the residue of the princes and the king of Babylon, they came in. And it came to pass that when Zedekiah, the king of Judah, saw them and all the men of war, then they fled. They fled. Jeremiah told them to stay. Jeremiah told them to do what the Babylonians told them to do and go with them. But they fled and went forth out of the city by night, by the way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls. He went out the way of the plain. Amen. I got news for you. God, the dark is the same as the light to the Lord.
Amen.
There's nothing hid from him. You can try to get out of here. You can try to hide. You can run, but you can't hide. Amen. The Lord sees all of you.
Yeah.
He went out by night. He thought he'd fool some people. But in verse 5 it says, the Chaldean's army pursued after them and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Slew his own son before his very eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes. So he slew his children, he slew the nobles in Judah, and made him see it and watch it, and then he poked his eyes out. And bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. Here this mighty king is. Now he's humbled and brought low because he wouldn't obey God, because he tried to run a separate way instead of going where God told him to go. See, Jeremiah had promised through God, he promised him that he was going to bring them back in this land. Yes, they might set fire to it, they might besiege it. Amen, but God was going to bring them back in to build houses. God was going to bring them back in to build lands and build all kinds of fruits and vineyards and things, and he was going to flourish it again. All they had to do was trust and obey.
Amen. Yeah.
But they didn't. Many times in Jeremiah, we see about in Jeremiah chapter 6:16, I believe it is, where it talks about seek ye the old path and walk therein, where is rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk therein. Israel was like this all throughout Jeremiah. We're not going to trust Jeremiah. He's not of the Lord. We're not going to listen to him. We're going to heap ourselves prophets that we want to listen to. We're going to follow the kings that seem to be right to us. But going against God never works out for anybody.
Right.
Amen. It never works out for anybody. So we see here, because Zedekiah would not listen to the words of Jeremiah, whose message had not changed, it was the same. We find out that he tried to go his own way instead of going the way of the Lord. And his sons were destroyed. All the nobles in that land were destroyed. And he became a prisoner without any eyes. He poked his eyes out and became a prisoner. And that once mighty king was humbled before the Lord, before the people here. Jeremiah's a very, very interesting book if you follow along with me. He preached to them, I believe it was 26 years. I've counted if my math is right and if the dates that mentions here, he preached to them about 26 years that Babylon was going to come before it ever did. Long time. I mean, we think about Noah preaching, I believe it was 120 years, something like that, or 100 years before the flood ever came. Here Jeremiah is pleading. Several times he pleaded with Zedekiah. Amen. He even said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I speak unto thee, so it shall be well with thee, and thy soul shall live. He beseeched the king, listen to me. I know what I'm talking about. I've got a word from the Lord. My message hasn't changed. Amen. And I'm glad today, and the point of this is, I'm glad today God's message to the world today has not changed.
Amen.
Amen. The message of grace has not changed. Amen. The message of mercy has not changed. Amen. And Isaiah talks about how he will abundantly pardon because he has loads and multitudes of mercy. Amen. Amen. His message to the world today to repent and be saved has not changed. I know there's a lot of people out today that are rebellious against the commandments and the statutes of the Lord and the word of the Lord today. But do you know what happened to Zedekiah? Just because they decided to rebel doesn't mean they're going to get their way. Doesn't mean God is not going to judge them.
That's right. Amen.
One of my favorite verses in the Bible, I believe, is Ecclesiastes 8, verse 11. It says, because evil against your judgment against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore it is fully set in the heart of men to do evil. Translation basically means they think they can get away with it because God hasn't judged it right now.
Yeah.
Because he's a long time in judging it, they think they can get away with it. We see today more perversion than I've ever seen in my lifetime. Every year it gets worse. Amen. People are trying to come out of the closet. Amen. I wish they'd go back in and shut the door and lock it. Amen. Because we don't need none of that mess in the world today. But the world is going to be the world. Amen. We have to be lights among this stuff.
Amen.
We have to be as harmless as doves and wise as serpents in the midst of a crooked, and Bible said, a perverse generation. Amen. I believe that's what we're living in right now.
Amen.
Crooked and perverse. Amen. If the God's message hasn't changed, then me and you don't need to change. Amen. We need to have our foot on the rock, like the song Amen. Says, and our minds made up.
Amen.
Amen. If they come and take your family, if they come and put you in jail, amen, will you just praise the Lord like old Paul and Silas? And God may rattle their cage. Amen.
Amen.
We got to stand for Jesus. He didn't back down when they lashed those cat of nine tails against his back and ripped the flesh from his bones. Amen. He didn't back down when they spat on his face, Brother Rudy. He didn't back down when they took that beard and they started plucking it. He didn't back down, amen, when they made him carry that cross up Calvary's hill. He didn't back down though he knew what his fate was going to be. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he could have gave it up. Amen. But he said, Father, thy will be done, not mine.
Amen.
He went all the way. Why? Because the message not only to us, but the message to Jesus had not changed. Amen. God sent his only begotten Son to the world. Why? Because he so loved the world that he gave him his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him might be saved. Amen. Salvation, the message of salvation has not changed.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I'm glad today there's a song Brother Seth sings. Seth Price, a good buddy of mine, Rudy knows him. Says, I'll stick with the old stuff. The second verse talks about the difference between the Buddha and me. Amen. There's all kinds of false gods in this world today. It ain't nothing new under the sun, Brother Rudy.
That's right.
Back in the old days, they had Baal, they had Ashtaroth, they had Molech, they had Moloch, I think the name of it. So Dagon, all the kinds of different gods, but none of them could rescue, none of them could save like the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Muhammad can't save me. Buddha can't save you. Allah can't save you. That's a different God entirely. A religion can't save you.
Amen.
Jesus Christ said, I am the way.
Amen.
I am the door. Any man tries to come in any other way, he's a thief and a robber. And we know no thief and a robber is going to inherit eternal life. The message, folks, has not changed. God holds us to a higher standard in the world. God talks about sanctification. Amen. Talks about being set apart.
Amen.
Talks about being a peculiar people. I want you to realize that God, when he was telling them all of these things through Jeremiah, he had a purpose in mind. He had a plan in mind. And that verse we quote so many times and misquote so many times in Jeremiah 20:11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord God, thoughts of peace. Amen. Thoughts of peace and not of evil to give you an expected end. I began to look at the different words. And the one that stood out in my mind more than any of them was that word toward. I know the thoughts I think toward you. And when you look that up, amen, the original Hebrew, amen, the word toward means very different things. It means with, in conjunction with. I have these thoughts in conjunction with. We're in one mind and one accord. Amen. I think the good thoughts for you. Amen. And I agree, amen, that these things are for your good. Another meaning of toward is up and above. Amen. God said in Isaiah 55, my thoughts are not your thoughts, for they're much higher. I believe it was Brother Rooney talked about during the revival. He preached in Psalm 139. He talks about such knowledge is too high for me. I can't attain unto it. I just don't understand it.
Amen.
God's thoughts are above ours.
Right.
I believe it's in Ephesians 3, verse 20. Amen. It talks about He is now unto Him that is exceedingly above, abundantly able to do more, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. According to the power that worketh in us. What's
Amen.
The power that worketh in us? The power of faith.
That's right.
Greater is He that is in us than He that is in the world. We can accomplish much with God on our side.
Amen.
Amen. With men it's impossible. With God all things are possible. The proof of that is when Jesus went to many places and He couldn't do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. They had an unbelieving spirit. They didn't have a spirit of faith. A spirit of not a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. And the message today for the church has not changed. Look up, your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. Amen. I've been reading and watching on the news all week, about 2 weeks maybe, about then five red heifers that went to Israel. I don't know if anybody else knows about this.
Amen.
But then five red heifers is a big sign, and it could be, amen, the sign of the end about to come. It could be, it could not be. But that's one of the requirements for the third temple to be built is the ashes of a pure red heifer. No spot, no blemish. They believe it said you couldn't have more than two hairs of a different color. And there's five of them like that. And they say, well, it'll probably take another couple of years to try that out and make sure they're fully grown and all that. Well, that's good and fine, Danny, but God can still come in between now and then.
Sure.
Amen.
Amen. Jesus Christ said, no man knows the day nor the hour. He told them to watch and pray. Amen. Told him Jesus is going to come like a thief in the night, just like the lightning flows from the east to the west. We don't know when He's going to be here. The important thing is to be ready.
Amen.
Yeah. Message to the church hasn't changed. Be ready. Amen. Win souls for Jesus. Get out there and labor in the field. The harvest is ready and it's wide. Ready to be harvested. Amen.
Amen.
Almost encourage the church. He wants to lift us up. Let us know He's getting ready to come for His bride. Amen. I'm glad I'm a part of the bride. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not one of the best men. I'm not one of the bridesmaids. Amen. I'm not the ring bearer. Amen. I'm not in the middle of it. The bride of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. I'll be glad when He says, come on up here and live with me forevermore. Amen.
Amen.
So shall we ever be with the Lord. I'm glad for that ever. Amen. We're going to be there forever. The devil won't be able to touch us.
Yes.
He won't be able to get any chaos in heaven. Amen. The devil's already been kicked out. And as Brother Robbie preached this morning, he's going to be bound for 1,000 years. Amen. We're going to have peace on the earth like we've never had before.
Yeah. Amen.
Because Jesus is coming back.
I believe
He's coming back, and I believe He's coming back soon.
Amen.
Man, there's a lot more in this, a lot more I could get into. More bookmarks than I had marked, but I feel that I've cleared my heart tonight. If everybody would stand, I'm going to ask Brother Ruby to come stand at the altar. If he needs to pray, he can do that too. As they get a verse of a song, would you sing a verse of a song? Maybe you're being persecuted. Maybe you don't know which way to go. Maybe all this media and the teaching and everything's going on in your ears, it's hard to filter it out. Over in Revelation, he talked to the church of Laodicea. Jesus did have a message for him. He said, I'd rather be hot or cold. If you're lukewarm, I'll spew you out. We can't straddle the fence on this.
Amen.
We're either for Him or we're against Him. We're either gathered or we're scattered abroad. And if you're on the fence, amen, I invite you to come.
Amen.
Because the message has not changed. God wants, amen, a Christian that's in there all in, as they sometimes say, he's all in for the Lord.
Amen.
Search your heart tonight. If you have a need, the altar's open. Amen. You're welcome to come and talk to the Lord. Meet Him here. I'm glad He's here ready to meet you. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Amen. As they sing.